say, well, what's new there? I mean, is there, you're always going to get this harassment of the poor downtown.
Yes, but now it's legalized. Now it is sort of incarnated into a legal structure. And so what the new wrinkle is that the police have completely left us alone for the last 4 days. They have not done the move along at all, whereas before we were told every hour we had to move. Our behavior has not changed. We continue to shout boycott bigotry, some of us, I do specifically, in front of the Pacific Trading Company. Not inside the store, but to essentially speak that message loudly on the street. So that people can hear it, and so that they can come over to look over the situation and see if they want to sign our petitions and so forth. But no police officers have come to tell us that we have a move-along requirement anymore, unlike the last 3 weeks. And when we brought a video display out on the sidewalk yesterday, we called it the silent movie because we didn't want to turn on the sound for fear that they would seize the equipment after Sergeant Baker issued two playing a television on the sidewalk without a sound permit, something that had never been required before, tickets. So we brought out the television, and when we noticed that the police were walking by our table without warning us, without saying anything, that there's been sort of a new policy, apparently the Rotkin strategy of pretending everything is beautiful downtown and trying to ignore us, and in fact ignoring us, which is, you know, it's fine. I mean, I'm glad they're ignoring us. We've had a different situation. We turned up the television so that people could actually hear it at different points, risking, you know, ticketing, risking arrest, though not engaging in excessive noise, not as we were considered violating the law or the Constitution or the rights of other people in that area. And what we have now is, of course, I think the police are adopting a more savvy strategy. They are realizing that the more they harass us, the more publicity they give us. And so what they did was they essentially, the ticketing of people in other areas like borders began after we left, about the time we left the Pacific Trading Company and went home after 2.5, 3 hours. And apparently, according to some of the youth there, it was after we left that police showed up in numbers to start harassing people in front of borders. So I'm going to suggest to those who are interested in continuing this struggle that what we need to do is establish a mobile cop watch on the mall. So that police are observed and documented as to what they do, and that when they begin the enforcement of a move-along law or harassing people for sitting on the edge of a low-lying planter or sitting within 14 feet of a building non-obstructively or engaging in any of 100 other innocent behaviors downtown which they decide is out of place, that the issue gets raised at that point to the community. Because the police have no business doing this. Whether the city council directs them to do so, whether the city manager directs them to do so, whatever, they have no business violating constitutional rights of citizens downtown. And it's true that it should be appealed through the courts, and I hope it is. It's true it should be opposed in the legislative chambers, and we have done that, and we'll continue to do that. But unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, the arena that really is left to most of us is the street, where the community can see and hear with its own eyes exactly what the police department is doing, and exactly for what reason, and exactly in what numbers they're doing it. And when the community sees this, hopefully the pressure will start to rise. I mean, already the pressure has risen. We have the emergency juggling ordinance, and I was going to play for you the Mike Rotkin's preposterous emergency finding. I'm going to try to find that debate on juggling now. And while I look for it here, let's take this call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Hi. It sounds like Steve Argue.
It is.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right.
All right. Have you been listening to the show?
Yes, I have been.
And what do you think? Have I been slandering you? What's the story?
Well, I don't think I've heard my name, actually, but...
You dirty rat.
Anyway, let's see, what was I calling about? I was calling about, first of all, the fact that the two arrests that I had for political tabling in front of the Pacific Trading Company there have now been up to a misdemeanor. So now I'm charged with two misdemeanors, one for tabling and one for refusing to sign the ticket.
Huh. And are you also charged with an infraction?
No infractions.
No infractions. Interesting.
They put the two tickets together, which is written into the law. The two tickets for tabling for over 59 minutes are now a misdemeanor instead of two infractions.
Huh.
And so now I have the right to a jury trial, which, you know, juries can be bad, especially with how bad the courtrooms are in capitalist America in terms of the slant you get in terms of jurors, who's allowed onto a jury in the first place, and so forth. But at least this gives an opportunity to explain to a jury, to whatever degree a judge allows, the First Amendment to the Constitution and why it's our right to be out there. I thought it was interesting listening to Rockin, and Rockin, in fact, I want a copy of that tape, Rockin explaining very clearly that this repression against us is content-oriented. I think he states that through his words, which makes very clear that this is repression, that this is First Amendment activity that's being repressed under the direction of the city council by the police.
Yeah, that's interesting. Definitely try to get you a copy. Just get in touch with me after the show. What do you make of this new police strategy of essentially leaving us alone?
I think it's intelligent on their part. I'm surprised they didn't do it earlier. Actually, maybe I'm not that surprised, and perhaps I won't be surprised if they pick it back up again, too. But I think they are feeling some heat for what they've been doing. They're having second thoughts about it, and I think what happened when we were out there on, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday, I think what happened, you know, with them not there with the stopwatch and waiting, I think says something to the fact that we've gotten publicity out on this and they're feeling some heat on it, that the city government's feeling heat on it, that they don't want to give this more publicity, that Pacific Trading Company is probably feeling more heat as a result of it and starting to understand that, and that it may be in their interest to back off a little bit, but I wouldn't count on it completely, and we do need to keep up the heat. And I was down there for that table. We had said a different time than you showed up, so I got there, and soon afterwards the table was shut down. Do you have any other time set up for a table, to set up a table where I could join you with the Revolutionary Rosa Luxemburg Club of the Peace and Freedom Party?
We don't have specific times. We usually kind of show up early in the afternoon, but if you want to propose a time now on the air, we could certainly, you know, see who wants to join.
Yeah, I'd like to go down there today if you're free.
Uh-huh. What time would you be down there?
Well, let's see. Probably in about an hour and a half.
Okay, I can try to do that. If there's a problem, I'll call you. But I would say, let's suggest that people, if you're interested, show up at the Pacific Trading Company. What, about 2:30?
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not looking at a watch, but okay, 2:30.
Are you planning to, should we say, table for 61 minutes, perhaps?
I don't want to put that out over the air right now.
Okay, well, we'll see. The mystery will unfold today.
I mean, it's like, okay. Let's the cops keep us guessing. Let's keep the cops guessing. We don't necessarily have to tell them when we're willing to be arrested and when we're not, because we don't want to be arrested. We don't want our table to be shut down. And I think the more people who are willing to be arrested and the cops not necessarily knowing when that's going to take place will have an impact on the cops and whether or not they try to enforce this law, too.
Hear, hear.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. And you're tuned to Free Radio. Last chance to get in a little something. I'm going to try to get us to the juggling part of the tape, but I don't think there's actually time. We have about 9 minutes left in the show. I think I'm going to have to wait until Thursday when the show returns between 6 and 8 in the evening to kind of get into play the discussion of the City Council's emergency juggling law rescission, so that rescission, I guess it is, where they clarify that they don't, and they pass a new law, which actually, I do have a copy of it here, which states, individual bubble street performers and individual jugglers who otherwise comply with all applicable statutes and ordinances are authorized to blow bubbles and juggle. You're authorized, everybody,
in the commercial, in the CCCN, CB, CBD, and RT, that's residential tourist, central downtown business district, commercial business, and a couple of other community commercial, I think, zoning districts. When the judgment of the director of Parks and Recreation or the police chief or their respective designees, said bubble blowing or juggling activity will materially interfere with pedestrian use of the sidewalk or attract crowds which will create such interference, the city may require a bubble street performer or juggler to obtain a non-commercial event permit from the city as a condition to continuing or undertaking a bubble or juggling performance. So it still gives them the power to stop this. This subsection shall not be construed to authorize hacky sack activity in the reference zone districts. And for those of you who are worried, it is still illegal for a person, after having been notified by a law enforcement officer that he or she is in violation of the prohibition in this section, to walk, stand, sit, or lie upon any monument, vase, decorative fountain, drinking fountain, bike rack, trash receptacle, median, fire hydrant, street tree, planter, berm, utility cabinet, railing, fence, planter, or upon any other public property not designed or customarily used for such purposes, to walk, stand, sit, or lie upon any public lawn or planted area which is posted with signs that forbid such conduct, or walk, stand, or lie upon any public bench, or, and here we are, the key, no bubble blowing, no amateur bubble blowing, actually, I guess individual street, bubble street performers are now okay, but frisbee throwers, watch out. In the community commercial, neighborhood commercial, commercial beach, central business, and tourist residential zoning districts, to intentionally throw, discharge, launch, or spill any solid object, the boten, which is forbidden, including but not limited to footballs, hacky sacks, baseballs, beach balls, frisbees, or other similar devices, or liquid substance, or otherwise cause any object or substance to be thrown, discharged, launched, spilled, or to become airborne. So I guess that means... Indeed, no vomiting or spitting, so Ed Porter should be reassured, although I believe that's probably forbidden under other ordinances. No pissing, also forbidden under other ordinances. But also, one might argue, no pouring coffee, no gargling, let's see, no squirt gunning of any kind. I was thinking of having an opportunity where everyone would get an opportunity to squirt me down at 25 cents a squirt, not knowing how to set up a dunking station on the mall as a fundraiser. What I'm going to do in the last 5 minutes is read you what the City Council has not done, but what it promised to do in January around the downtown ordinances. I'm reading from the City Council agenda's final adoption of ordinances pertaining to downtown conduct, item 28, on the January 14th, 7 p.m. evening session. And what they promised to do was, a motion was carried to review the ordinance changes at the July 22nd council meeting that's supposed to be on the agenda with regard to whether or not the 10-foot space requirement is necessary and with regard to the impact of crosswalks, benches, and intersections on the effectiveness of that ordinance. What that really may mean is the maps that they used were bad maps that were indicated there was more space available than there actually was. Martine Bernal and the Parks and Rec failed to correct those maps. So we'll wonder if now, by July, they've actually corrected them, a year after the maps were supposedly created to actually put these ordinances together. That Vice Mayor Kennedy and Councilman Premack work together and come back to council in 1 month, that's 1 month after January 14th, with a procedure for defining exemption zones for businesses that are closed or vacant, walls and facades that are away from doors and window, and corner setbacks that were meant to be public places. So they were actually charged with getting exemption zones that have nothing to do with the exemption zones that they came up with, which were these two small exemption zones around the Scribner statue and the planter area near the bookshop Santa Cruz. They were asked to look at actual areas where their businesses are closed or vacant and so forth, and they were asked to do this in a month. Kennedy, of course, didn't do it, had no public input into it, and came back without any kind of public thing and simply an item on the consent agenda, which they rammed through. That the city manager work with department heads and staff to develop streamlined administrative procedures for over-the-counter permits for longer performance periods due to the need to set up equipment, hasn't been done, and addressing issues of amplification. And I guess the way they're addressing amplification is they're arresting people who are now doing what had previously been declared legal, playing a television set downtown to show a video of police harassment on the mall. The council members Fitzmaurice, Rotkin, the city manager, and the city attorney worked together to develop language that addresses discretionary enforcement by the police for these ordinances. That hasn't been done. The police have just used their own discretion.
that when problems and informal processes fail, the council should give direction to the mayor, commission, task force, or conflict resolution board at the mayor's direction to convene the stakeholders in order to try and identify the issues and suggest solutions. Instead of doing that at the Pacific Trading Company, they're calling the activists names and taking sides in the dispute. To direct the city manager to work to ensure that adequate public information and maps are available to host city staff and police as soon as possible. Not done. And that the city attorney work with Councilmember Matthews and Mayor Riley to consider amendments to the appropriate ordinances that amends the display device language to exempt small containers that are judged not to be in danger of blocking doorways, with the understanding that this applies to solicitation, performance, political tabling, and other free speech activities. Not done. Now, it's true that they have another week and a half to come up with this stuff, so I guess we should suspend judgment until July 22nd. But if I were you, I would go down to the budget meeting tomorrow, which is at 8:30 in the morning, and because that's where the money is, folks. You should always go where the money is, or isn't, as the case may be, because it's all being spent on moving railings and paying off huge police retirement benefits. But that's where you get a chance to talk about the budget. You can talk about the CVC budget, the public works budget in the morning. You can talk about the police budget in the afternoon. Social services are in the morning. That's downtown at the City Hall tomorrow, the budget hearings. And if you want to come down to the Pacific Trading Company and keep an eye on the police downtown and raise the issue of let's restore some basic civil rights in Santa Cruz, then I'll be down there at 2:30 with Steve Argue, and we'll see you there. Until then, hopefully you'll come to the Huff meeting on Wednesday morning, 8:30 to 10:30 at Baker Square. I show up there, and I hope to see you there. It's at 1107 Ocean Street. You can call the Huff line at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Or you can listen into our next broadcast, which is at 6 o'clock on Thursday evenings, 6 to 8. We have a final call coming in here. Got to get out of the studio, but... Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, I just wanted to announce that Ruth Hunter is having her birthday party honorarium today out at the Deanza Trailer Park. I'm sure they don't call it that, a trailer park, a mobile home park out on Delaware Avenue from 2 to 5 p.m. And, you know, Ruth Hunter's been such a long-time peace advocate in the city of Santa Cruz, and so it should be a lot of people will be there.
Hey, thank you very much.
Sure.
All righty. And for those who are interested, there's also going to be a meeting of the SCAN Steering Committee in Bernice Belton's house. I think that's next Saturday. For anybody interested, call Huff at 423-4833 for more information. You have to be a member of SCAN to attend. Should be might be an interesting meeting. You never can tell. And I'll give you more information about that again. Give me a call, 423-HUFF. I'll get back to you. Coming up next, some interesting tidbits from one of our, I think Old Lady Scar Arms has snuck into the studio and is about to pull some interesting stuff here. So stay tuned.
See that bat? See that hand? You think I can throw the bars? Well, I can. And lead millions in peace and discover blood plasma.
And conduct symphony orchestras.
And make it to the North Pole. Oh,
and pick cotton.
When I was a lad of 10, in weather hot or cool, the white kids rode in a big yellow bus while I walked 9 miles to school.
Today, white folks have changed their minds, and so they fuss and cuss, because now they want to walk to school and leave the driving to us.
When I was a lad of 12 and blacks were still Negroes, a little white boy called me black and I punched him in the nose.
My little brother came home today, his face all in a pout. He said, some kid called me a Negro and I punched him in the mouth.
Time brings about a change. Time will bring a change about.
Beulah used to offend me. She was such a caricature. And Amos and Andy made me mad. They were stereotypes for sure.
Mm-hmm. offensive stuff. Darkies crooning, oh, Susanna. We've got Archie Bunker now, and that's pure Americana.
Time brings about a change. Time will bring a change about.
Somebody started a rumor that socializing with blacks could be fun. So pretty soon, as the word got around, every cocktail party had one.
Now all the good white folks have gone and left town, cause it wasn't fun anymore when those fun colored folks left the cocktail party and bought the house next door.
Time brings about a change. Time brings about a change. Time brings about a change. Time will bring a change about.
No time for hating, no time. The river rolls, and so does time. Loving comes easy once you start, but hating just takes too much heart. The river's rolling, and there's so little time, so little time. I've got no time for name calling, no time.
Somebody!